listening to the Nerds Assemble podcast.
And welcome to Nerds Assemble podcast episode 155. I'm Paul, aka Retroid.
I'm Paul, aka Cookie.
I'm just Paul.
And I'm Emily.
This week we'll be talking about television, the drug of the nation, breeding ignorance and feeding radiation, or how the TV market and consumption is changing.
It's a long ass title.
Yep.
It's a good one, though.
It is a good one.
I am in charge, so everyone's. Getting whipped behind the scenes.
This is not Nerds After Dark, damn it.
Whipped in a sort of a workplace way, not in a sexy workplace way. Right, as ever, you can find notes on this episode on www.nerdsassemble.co.uk and you can tweet us at nerdspodcast on Twitter. This episode is also available on iTunes and Stitcher. So, we've all been trying as hard as we can to watch everything new coming out in the autumn schedule. But
yay.
Something's a little bit different this year. It's been creeping in a little bit over the last few years, but it seems this fall, very few, if any, new series on American network TV, which is, of course, where we get most of our genre TV, very few of them have actually been cancelled.
No. I suppose that's good news for fans in general.
This is a good thing in general because the American TV market is very cutthroat. I've heard of a few seasons where, well, a few series where they've only had one or two episodes, and then because those haven't performed, those haven't been bringing the viewer numbers, which means they can't charge the advertisers as much. They've been dropped to graveyard slots, or in some cases, dropped on schedules completely.
Hmm.
Yeah.
There have been a few times when a series has turned up on British TV and we've been getting episodes which hadn't been viewed in the US, which I always found absolutely insane. If they'd spent money on them, surely you'd think a little bit back is better than none at all. But that just seems to be how it works. Hello, Fox. it still burns. I will never forgive you for Firefly.
Oh dear.
So, have you lot read the article? This was published in the LA Times and has been discussed elsewhere.
I have skimmed it. I thought I would let your dulcet tones explain it to me.
Fortunately, it's just me speaking, so not my dulcet tones.
I've read it.
I have read it.
Okay.
Very, very quickly.
Yeah.
Well, quickly for me.
And what did you think? What did you think of the arguments that were put forward?
I think that there were some solid arguments put forward in that perhaps the industry's suddenly waking up to just how things have changed in the last couple of years because catch-up TV services and different, distributors, as it were, with the likes of Netflix and Amazon, and the fact that obviously you've got Yahoo muscling in, and then Hulu's still there hoarding a whole load of network stuff anyway.
Not to mention, TV recorders. I mean, we've had VCRs that could record onto tapes since the 80s. It's, only just now that they're actually beginning to realise that people may actually be recording series and then watching them later.
Yeah.
I'm not sure how, because the American TV market relies on, was it Nielsen? Or is that only for one?
I think the networks that they do rely on Nielsen, they rely on rankings being given out. That's why they've got all the sweepstakes and stuff.
Yeah.
So.
And of course, the most transparent example of that is times I've heard where they're doing the average measurements of viewers. And that's how they set the advertising ratings in the US on TV, on network TV. So that's when you'll get the big budget miniseries.
Yeah.
being put on, so they can say, look, Saturday evening gets an average of such and such million. And say, well, no, it doesn't. It's only getting that because you've put on a multi-million dollar miniseries of, you know, say, Gulliver's Travels.
Tutankhamun.
Yeah, but that's one of the first times I heard about the, you know, the fall sweeps region. You know, and it's just, well, that's a bit mental because surely, you know, if I'm reading that and thinking, oh, you're trying to game the system there, surely the advertisers can see that too and think, maybe offer a little bit less.
I think
it also depends on what they're actually going up against as well.
Well, yeah.
Because they do have this tendency of putting new shows on against sort of old stalwarts, Star Wars, whatever you want to call it.
And we can be relatively sure that, you know, such and such is going to get X amount of viewers, so we'll put it on at that time.
Yeah, or even better, they'll just cock up the actual screenings and totally fuck it up so people aren't about to watch it. And then go off them viewing figures. Like, well, Constantine.
Well, I mean, I've got a quote from Tom Noonan here, who's a film and television producer and former executive who now teaches UCLA School of Theatre, Film and Television. He said, they may actually have a real gem that was just on the wrong network, scheduled on the wrong day, and wasn't marketed properly, that might actually have a life somewhere else if they thought thoughtfully about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have heard one of the most glaring examples of that. Sorry to, you know, butt in there.
No, that's fine.
One of the big examples of, wow, that's stupid, I can't believe, you know, that was the reason, was the series American Gothic.
Okay.
Yes, I remember that.
I remember reading at the time that the reason it got cancelled was that the network it was on was trying to go through a rebranding at the time. So it was getting the right number of viewers, but they were the wrong demographic.
Mm.
They were trying to reposition themselves as sort of a you know, older audience, you know, sort of, you know, older slash family audience. And American Gothic got a sort of a, you know, young, you know, well, younger demographic, say, you know, 20s.
Hmm.
And they took one look at that and thought, well, that's not who we're after. That's not who we're targeting.
Yeah,
and knocked it on the head.
Well, I mean, Supernatural is another one that got shifted.
Well, it's not just shifted. Supernatural is, like, the one show that bucks everything that the CW's trying to do since the network was created, because Supernatural existed before the network, before CW existed. And, like, it's got older older actors and actresses on screen. It's obviously a lot older. It's been going on for ages. And it also brings in a range of demographics that is perhaps older and yet also younger than the vision that they're trying to get with the CW. Like, Arrow's kind of what they want, but they've got Supernatural there as well, straight afterwards. So,
which works quite well, to be fair.
From what I've heard of CW, because I was reading, I'm not sure if it was in this particular article or whether it was elsewhere, when I was looking up, you know, the story as well. The deal with CW is a little bit strange, isn't it, from our eyes? Was it CBS and Warner?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they have to have a certain percentage of shows from each network, and it's just... What? Actually, it's Warner a network, or is CW its attempt at breaking in?
Well, no, because they had... I think they did have their own channel at one point, and then the CW just kind of was what they went for afterwards, I think. I'm guessing at this point.
The American TV network was always strange to me.
I mean, Supernatural is just a weird case because it's still hanging on, and it's in its 11th season. There's been, in the fandom, mostly discussions about the viewer ratings. I mean, so far, nothing... It hasn't dipped below 1.5 million an episode across, like, the last couple of seasons. But there's always the worry it'll dip below that. But then that's the live viewing.
And
the problem is that there are actually a lot of people watching the series on Catch Up on CW's website. afterwards. And also on services like Netflix. Yeah. And on services like Netflix, like there is a, like almost anyone at the moment who gets into the show who's living in the US, it'll be because they binge watched seasons, well, 10's recently come up on there, so seasons 1 through 10 on Netflix. And then suddenly they're interested and they'll probably try watching it live, or they'll watch it on catch-up, or they'll use their DVR. Or they'll just
record it on DVR,
But interesting how you bring up Netflix, because that was also mentioned in the article, where they say that there is a risk of when a network drops, you know, kind of a show, that it will kind of go to Yahoo or go to Netflix.
Buy the rights.
And so they've basically got a already packaged TV
But they don't have to put much investment in to get it going.
Exactly. So, you know, and then that means that if that that's successful after that, then, you know, what you what the network is dropping is actually becoming very valuable to, you know, like the competitors in essence.
Because it is quite expensive to produce this content. So if a network has chucked money down the well, basically, because it's we'll have 5-10 episodes of such and such, and then you get, well, you know, I can't remember the name of you know, one of them, but it was, yeah, it was about one or two episodes, and they basically just said, right, that's it, not worth it. That's hours of content which can now be picked up, because previously it was, well, what are you going to do? Are you going to release it on DVD or, you know, whatever? But you've got Netflix, you've got Amazon, you've got
Hulu.
Hulu.
Rohaki? Is it Rohaki TV or whatever?
Something like that, yeah. There's several different platforms that these programs can go to after they're in some way cancelled.
It's not just that, but I mean, if you look at some of the shows that have actually been bought back just from like DVD sales, like Futurama and Family Guy, you know, sometimes, you know, a network doesn't realise what it has, drops it, then all of a sudden, you know, DVDs come out and whatnot, people get into it, and then they're thinking, oh, which sells more.
Yes. Which is crazy, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, they're obviously seeing Netflix as a big competitor nowadays. So I did notice a story on the CW that they were the future series of Arrow and The Flash and perhaps even Supernatural, I can't remember if it was mentioned, it's going to be longer before they appear on Netflix, because they want to have more people going to their own on-demand services.
Right, I'm back on. I don't know when that could help.
Cookie was just saying about they might be delaying how long stuff goes in services like it's Supernatural's probably still going to end up on Netflix either just as the new
in the US
just as the new season's starting, or
but certainly Arrow and Flash isn't.
It does frustrate me, Netflix in the UK, and just how few titles we get compared to the US.
But then the issue is that also, like, Amazon
Prime... It's just licensing issues, isn't it?
Amazon Prime Video and has, like, stuff, basically. But then what's annoying with Amazon Prime Video in the case of something like Supernatural is it's one of those series where they had it free for a while, now you've got to pay per episode.
And they switch it over without warning, it seems. At least as far as I can tell.
Yeah, Amazon have got a nasty habit of that when I've been subscribed to them, where it's, oh, yeah, we've got this. It's, oh, that's cool. Oh, I see. You've got it available on your service to buy. It's not part of the actual streaming service. You sneaky assholes.
Going back, surely, though, to the issue which we were trying to discuss, which is that things seem to be changing during the sort of full season of networks now.
It's amazing how few people actually watch TV programs when they're actually live on air sometimes.
Well, who here? I mean... For a start, we're not American. But who here actually sits down and watches whatever program is on when it's actually being broadcast?
But the only ones maybe is Doctor Who for us at the moment.
Yeah. I mean, because Walking Dead's on when we're actually recording this, so we actually obviously watch it on the catch-up service.
Yeah, I also watch it on, on Now TV we watch it.
I mean, Supergirl, we've been watching once again on catch-up. It's not necessarily because that we've got something to do on, like, a Thursday. It's just that sometimes, obviously, we forget or involved in something else.
It just, honestly, to me, it seems really weird the idea of sitting down and watching something when it's actually on TV.
No, I totally agree. It's we record pretty much everything now and then watch it. It's like Doctor Who. Actually, I'll start probably about half an hour after it's aired on BBC because I'm already watching something that I've recorded on catch up, and then that kicks into record.
Well, I'll usually be either playing something on the computer or I'll be you know fiddling with a hobby or just something like that. I by far prefer the idea of not having to look up at the clock and say, "Oh shit, it's whatever time it is that the BBC has decided to put it on this week."
Which seems to be changing.
Oh yeah, because it's been ridiculous because of them in Strictly Come Dancing usually is on at the same time, as in like it's the same season of TV, and just that gets freaking whatever the fuck it wants. Or there's bloody sports on, and that messes with the timetable earlier in the day, and everything else gets knocked around as a result.
And yeah, that's another reason for me why I'm not going to bother actually watching it when it's on TV. I'll just watch it either on iPlayer or on, recorded on Sky. And either way, I'm going to be able to see it, and I'm going to be able to see it in high quality, and I'm going to be able to see it legitimately.
Absolutely. I mean, it's not just that, but I mean, because streaming's HD as well, and you may not actually necessarily get as many adverts while watching it on demand. So it's actually more convenient from that perspective as well.
Or if you got
actually thinking about that, with the Beeb, we don't get adverts anyway.
No, true.
So suck it, Americans.
Saying on Sky Plus, if you've recorded it, I'll just fast forward through the adverts anyway. Thank the Lord.
On Now TV, after we've recorded this, we'll go downstairs and we'll watch The Walking Dead, and we'll watch it on Now TV, and there will be no adverts.
Oh, wow.
So why would I bother? Why would I bother watching it free when it's going to be, oh my God, what's going to happen to character X? Oh, washing up liquid. Oh, porridge.
See, I'd love it if adverts just did that. It's like, washing up liquid.
Car advert that tells you nothing about the actual fucking car.
That's all of them, isn't it?
It's a Volkswagen. Go buy it. Done.
Nah,
because you're having a midlife crisis and you fancy picking up women who are a third of your age.
But
buy Vroom Vroom Motors.
I think the problem is that the traditional, obviously America's structure is slightly different to ours in terms of television and how stuff gets commissioned and made in comparison to over here, where over here it's kind of like we've got these set channels. There's production companies all over the place. Production companies will get stuff in which is either like directly pitched to them, depending on how their process works, or it's been brought through by agents for writers. Or the production company has an idea, brings somebody on board, that person develops the idea, blah, blah. They then pitch these ideas to channels, and the channels go like, okay, yes, we'll have that. Give us 3, 6, 12 episodes or whatever. Make it. And then they'll put it up. Whereas in America, obviously, like the traditional season previously used to be up to 26 episodes a season.
Yeah.
That is now, if they are going for a full American season, in the last kind of 10, 15 years, it's more like, because the season model's been going since the 40s or 50s. Currently, it's more like a season probably between 20 to like maybe 23, 24 episodes.
It's a little bit unusual to get 20-odd episodes, isn't it, something?
Supernatural tends to 23 episodes a season, and stuff like Castle is over 20 episodes a season.
Really?
But they are both, of course, network ones, whereas if you're watching something like Walking Dead or Breaking Bad
cable.
Or Game of Thrones, those are cable.
Yeah, cable,
And also, they go about 10 to 13 episodes per season.
Also, I mean, Californication, I believe, was 12 episodes.
Yeah, it's cable channel.
And, what's the one up there?
I don't know which you
mean. The lawyer one.
The lawyer one?
The lawyer one. I
just want to say the crime one, because that'll not work out as well.
Franklin and Bash. That's okay. The one. I think that's 12 episodes as well.
But the networks are kind of looking to the European model, which is obviously where we're making, and some of the other European countries, because like the returned is a similar kind of number.
Seriously, don't look at ours numbers. Because our model is
But the thing is that if you look at the longer the network shows, which do have the 20 odd episodes a season, versus your Walking Dead or certainly your Breaking Bad, or Netflix seasons that are series that are like of a similar length. The longer series will, you can tell there are filler episodes. They do pad things out. There's
Lost was a good example of that, where you could see a filler episode coming from a mile off.
It was the same with Supernatural, X-Files, Buffy, any genre show that is of a certain length. Like, I'm a big fan of The Mentalist, which has ended the other year. But with the final season, which they basically did a short run of, it was like 12 or 13 episodes to just tie things up. But the previous seasons had all been like 20 odd episodes a season. And because obviously the main foe or force that is faced off during all of the seasons is Red John. And a Red John led episode, that is an arc, you know, that's a main arc episode. But then there'll be like several case of the week episodes scattered throughout the season. Well, more than several, actually. Most of the season will be case of the week.
I always found that really weird, because The Mentalist is a series I've only seen, you know, the occasional episode in isolation. But I always found it really weird when you have an arc in a series and it's vitally important that we do the thing. What are we doing about the thing? Have we got some new information on the thing? We do. Let's follow the new information about the thing. Yes, it's vitally important we do this about the thing. Next week, we're on the flower planet.
Yeah. Well, that's what happened to Supernatural. So far, I'll admit, it hasn't quite happened in this season. Season 11's been weird so far. It's been unusual. We're 5 episodes in, and this week's not looking any different, so there'll be 6 episodes, but they're all connected to the main arc that's happening this season. But then previous seasons, definitely it's been like, there's been this thing happening, like, oh look, it's a monster, let's go deal with the monster that has nothing to do with the main crap that we're dealing with this season.
Although with Supernatural, I kind of see that as returning to what the series started off as.
That is true, but then when the series started off as, it was still during the earlier part of like the sort of tail end of development, where Case of the Week, Monster of the Week was kind of the thing, because obviously like Smallville was like that, Buffy previously was like that, Angel was previously like that, X-Files obviously for definite was previously like that. Like, there were very few series perhaps that were, say, like, look back at something like Twin Peaks, like the first season of Twin Peaks, which was short. The second season had a bit more filler going on it, but the first season of Twin Peaks, like, each episode was connected to the main case. You know, it was it wasn't a thing of the week. And that was back obviously at the beginning of the 90s. But that kind of idea hasn't really crept in until recently, and of course it's the cable channels that tend to do those,
because one of the episodes, the things that they were scared when it comes to, you know, story arcs, was keeping people's attention. And then if, you know, if people bugger off for a few weeks and they come back, oh shit, they're not gonna know what's happened. And then, you know, they'll say, oh well, I can't really be, I don't, who's that?
But then
I thought he had two arms.
But then this model doesn't really exist. Well, it doesn't really work anymore, because networks have got access to a form of multimedia that is now in almost everybody's hand and pocket, and sitting on the table, their couch, their freaking smartphones or whatever, or little laptops, tablets, whatever. If people like find a thing that looks interesting, they could read up on it or watch catch-up episodes.
It's like any big industry, isn't it? They're always slow to catch on. And in this case, the closest equivalent to the American TV method of doing networks and, you know, how they did things would probably have been ITV.
Yes.
Where you had the separate ITV regions, and what used to happen was that each ITV region would pay a small amount to buy in whatever program. and they had a certain quota, you know, for doing their own local programming. But by and large, if you were going to sit down at, you know, time X on day X, you were going to be able to watch program X, because that was one of the linchpins that got sold to all the ITV, you know, regions. Now, that was a little bit weird during the 80s, because when they went 24 hours, they started, you know, buying all sorts of cheapo crap from America and just putting it on at, you know, like 3 o'clock in the morning. That's how I Bounty first Hunter. Saw things like, well, yeah, there was Bounty Hunter, and I saw the American TV series of War of the Worlds. And, you know, all of those things were on at really weird times. But if you lived in a different city, chances are you either wouldn't see it on that day, at that time, or possibly at all, depending on whether they could be asked. And that's the closest equivalent I've you know, come across to how the American networks are. Because when they, you know, when we say networks, we tend to think of the BBC, where it's pretty much, it's the BBC. Mm. You will be sitting down and you will be seeing that thing. Whereas, you know, there are actually all these, you know, regional variations. And I remember, was it NYPD Blue?
Yes.
Which was quite controversial at the time in the US.
It was, where, but it was good.
Right, yeah, it was good. But when it started off, it was like, oh, it's a bit violent, oh, it's a bit sexy. So what would happen is a weird situation where if you were sitting down and you sat and, you know, sat down and watched, you know, I can't remember which network it was supposed to be on at the time, but in certain cities, they weren't buying it. They were refusing to buy it. And then you'd have a competitor, you know, franchise of, you know, another network or a local channel. They would buy it instead and put it on at that time. And that's weird. We wouldn't get that situation here. In fact, I think one of the only times there are two times I can think of where a series started on one network and finished off on another. One is Men Behaving Badly, which started off as a slightly crap ITV sitcom and moved to the BBC with a change of cast. Well, at least
was,
you know, some of the cast.
Because it was Neil Stooks, wasn't it?
And wasn't it Harry Enfield as well?
Yeah, Harry Enfield was in the first series, yeah.
Yeah, but that moved to the BBC, and then was it Primeval? Was it Primeval was started on the BBC, or am I going mad?
I thought Primeval started on ITV, and then it moved
to
Watch.
I thought Primeval did. But they've just done that with Birds of a Feather.
Cause
that's on ITV now.
Yes.
Mm. Primeval wasn't on BBC because it was too much like Doctor Who. So it was produced as a competitor by ITV to compete against Doctor Who.
I couldn't remember with that, but it's notable that, you know, years later we can remember which series did that, because it's not something that generally happens over here.
Yeah, yeah.
No.
But in America, it seems like because they're independent production companies, they can just, you know, hop to wherever.
Yeah.
Hence, if a series is cancelled, they can instantly, you know, up sticks and whoever's making it can go, you know, hawking it around to, you know, competitors and, or, you know, as it is now, Netflix, Amazon. And if they've got a large back catalogue of episodes to go on, even better for those, because they can say, well, you know, here, have the episodes.
Perhaps one of the closest things that happened. What was it? Was it Ripper Street that got cancelled?
Ripper Street was sold on BBC and then went to Amazon, wasn't it? Amazon Video?
It's on Amazon
at the moment.
But it's like the closest that we've... That and Top Gear, but obviously the reason Top Gear... Well, and it's not even called that anymore. Obviously what the dudes and twits are doing on Amazon Prime Video.
Are they still meant to be getting Chris Evans to do Top Gear?
I don't know.
So far as I know, Chris Evans is supposed to be doing Top Gear, not that I care, because vroom vroom. that's another gene I'm missing.
I would like to point out that my favourite car TV show, not that it's on regular Freeview type stuff anymore, was and is Fifth Gear, on account of its factual nature about cars.
Oh no, that reminds me of when we were walking down the river that one time, and a car kind of came by and it didn't steer correctly when it kind of come to the
chicane.
So she managed to burst two of her right tyres.
Yeah.
you know, the front and back right tires.
That's good going.
Yeah,
that was. But the thing is, though, is that she actually asked me, you know, what kind of tires she needed to, you know, kind of call up about to get. And it's like, I don't know.
Well, it's
like,
a man
I like
thing,
cars more.
So let's ask the man.
I think, Emily, did you know or did you...
I didn't know, because you would have to look in the handbook to know what freaking tyres were needed. But the simple fact matters is that you would need a call out anyway, and then they would call to somebody nearby for tyres, of which there were numerous places nearby that sold tyres, I want to point out.
Like the tyre place.
Yeah, there was a tyre place across the river and then one the other side of town.
But
what kind of tyres do I need? A car, because I'm pretty sure a tractor ones wouldn't fit.
It was quite bad, the fact that, you know, it's just like, oh, here's a man, he should know.
Can we bring this back to network television?
Yeah, sorry.
Maybe we should have a sitcom. Wait, about
what do you mean by,
and pitch it to ABC or something. I'm sure they would love that, you know, people bursting tyres, the sitcom.
Or just, you know, kind of gender stereotypes and how they're incorrect.
The sitcom. Wait, isn't that like most of the sitcoms on network television in the US?
I think it probably is, yeah.
Sadly so.
Most American sitcoms are shit.
And then they
just goes with most British sitcoms are shit.
Yeah.
You're not a fan of sitcoms then?
I like sitcoms, that's a problem. I like sitcoms, but most of them are shit.
I would like to point out that I may feel a slight degree of bias towards this year's Delivery Man that was on ITV, but that's because friend of the show, James Henry, helped co-write that.
And when you say friend of the show, the guy that's been on at least twice.
Yeah.
Now, you see, I am genuinely more interested in that now.
It was actually quite good.
Yeah, it was actually...
bucking gender stereotypes.
Yeah, and there was the hint of the kind of humour that people like James brought to things like Green Wing in it as well. There was a hint. But obviously toned down for like a regular ITV audience, because no way could a regular ITV audience handle Green Wing.
I'm
amazed how the regular ITV audience can handle life, let alone...
Recently, I have been watching a little bit of New Girl, and I do actually quite like that so far. Because, I mean, it's like obviously a young woman who, you know, has to get an apartment with three other blokes, and the blokes aren't that bad.
Interesting.
Because it's a bit of a trope, isn't it? Sitcom trope, that the men are idiots.
Yeah, I mean, that obviously each character has its own kind of, you know, uniqueness to them, which can include, you know...
I think almost as soon as you're outside of a straight-up drama or, hard-hitting genre TV, like, male characters in television shows have this chance of being real idiots, especially in comedy. But anyway, we need to bring this back to network television.
Yeah, sorry.
Surely.
you have to change the way that sounds, because that sounds as though we're going to pitch it.
We're going to pitch this long meandering amble towards.
So we've got this young woman that has to get an apartment with three guys. Wait, that's already been done. New Girl. Duh.
Pitch the podcast to a network.
If you were, generally speaking, in the UK, and if with ITV, it would be. The BBC did it first and it was more popular, so how about we do our own version?
Primeval.
Especially if it's a GP series, like a cookery program. But anyway.
Or a pottery program.
Are we pointing out the fact that perhaps, one, the way advertising is graded and quoted for and whatever needs to change? Two, that viewing figures for catch-up services and stuff need to count more.
Yes.
And three, that basically broadcasters, networks, whatever, need to kind of get with the program. And begin to really seize upon the different ways in which people are viewing shows. Say that, in fact, prime time television is probably most definitely fucking over unless it's some stupid sporting event.
Well, I mean, to be fair, I mean, that it's obvious that, you know, with the lack of cancellations this season, that they are starting to, you know, kind of at least think about stuff a bit more now.
But partly,
a lot of the cancellations as well that I've seen. are actually ones that have already had two or three seasons, like Rookie Blue.
So it's new stuff that hasn't really been cancelled. But
because they're thinking, hang on, we may actually be able to do something with this now.
Yeah, but they're so fucking scared that they're going to basically sell the rights to somebody like Netflix and they actually make a good job of it. They're just running scared from that, basically.
No. I'll go into this. This is related because, you know, there are a few times there's a seismic shift when it comes to, you know, how TV networks view their income and what they've got. Now, pre-VCR, you had TV series and channels on both sides of the Atlantic who didn't really care about the content they had. The most famous examples being the BBC erasing master tapes of things like, you know, Doctor Who. Because so far as they were concerned, if they weren't going to be showing it in rotation, and why would they? They only had the two channels at the time. Then what was the point? These broadcast tapes were valuable. They could just reuse them.
Yes.
And then, of course, the VCR revolution in the early to mid-80s, came along and suddenly they realised that, hang on, some of these we may actually be able to release them on tape. Mm. And then people who had recorded them anyway, came to their rescue a few times. I don't think that happened so much in the US, but I do know that some of the Doctor Whos were rescued from America, some of the old Doctor Who episodes.
One of them is just, there's another one that's just been found, isn't there? Or there's another one that's just become available.
Yeah, so I've heard. Now, you've got that going on. So, you know, videotapes are being sold. And then, well, the thing was, videotapes being big and bulky and only being, you know, maybe about, you know, most retail tapes were about, 90 minutes. If you bought, 90 minutes, 2 hours, if you bought them with, a film or TV series on. So, say, a typical 6-episode series from the BBC would be on 2 cassettes, or, from Channel 4 or whatever in the UK.
Yep.
And American TV series, you'd be up to about 13 tapes for a season. Which is just, it's a little bit unmanageable, isn't it? I'm saying that as someone who bought and collected Star Trek Next Generation, the original Star Trek, Deep Space Nine, and Voyager on cassette, so I know they are bloody unmanageable.
To be fair, Buffy had half seasons on
that
three
was
tapes.
That was towards the end of where they were just squeezing as much as they could out of VHS at that point, and so a season would be on about 4 tapes. You'd have, and it'd be released in halves, so half of the season would be released in a box set of 2. And
when they suddenly started increasing
the
tapes and saying, because the logic seemed to be, we will charge a tenner for 90 minutes to 2 hours, and that's how we're going to sell. And then they suddenly realised that maybe that's not such a fantastic idea. Maybe we can actually, squeeze a little bit more out of that. And then along came DVD.
Yep.
And suddenly you could have a full season in the space of about 1 or 2 VHS cassettes. And it suddenly became much easier for people to box set things and just buy them. And because of the size of them, they weren't taking up massive shelves. The sales of those went up. And then you had things like Family Guy, which were rescued by sales of their box sets and DVDs. So that was one of the, possibly, say, the second revolution when it came to broadcast TV, where they suddenly realized that they could chuck these out as box sets as a lower price than before, because, well, I suppose after all they were taking up less space, which meant that they were cost a lot less to produce and store and transport, so they sold more. Because I never knew many people who would buy VHS box sets of things. It seemed to be a real aficionado nerdy thing to do, that you had to have these things, like Babylon 5 box set.
It says something, because, my dad got to our family, really. We bought all the Buffys, all the Angels. Dad bought the what was rebranded as like TV movies of the Next Generation. So you had all the double episodes type thing.
Where they released some other two-parters as, you know, slightly edited together.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, Babylon 5. He started to collect at least like the first season's worth on Babylon 5.
I'm pretty sure Damo had all of X-Files on VHS at one point.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he did.
Oh, yeah, my mother bought all the X-Files on VHS, and the shelves were creaking because of it.
Well, what I want to say and is it, that my family is a geeky family.
Yeah, when. She's recently rebought, some of the, you know, the seasons of stuff, and it's a single DVD case for a season. Say, you know, like I bought the Blu-rays of the Star Trek Next Generation.
Mm.
Well, I've only got season 3 at the moment, but you know, the point is that's the same width as a single case for an entire season.
Yeah.
And it's just insane. So, DVDs came along.
Well, I think I think they've rebranded recently the Doctor Who's, because I have noticed in HMV that the Doctor Who seasons are kind of now half the size of or less of than, you know, the actual kind of proper, I don't know, maybe like just over an inch type.
It's always the, should we make something bigger so people think that if they're paying over X amount that they're getting more for their, you know, more bang for the buck? Or should we just actually make it a sensible size so people can just store them?
To be fair, sometimes it could be just packaging.
Yes, yeah,
it can be.
Like the original Simpsons season box sets, they were all like fancy, like, you know, soft foam plastic things, and now they've just changed them so that they are standard DVD cases, which is much more preferable. Maybe less collectible, but it's easier to put on a sodding shelf. Thanks very much. it's just easier. So you had that, and you had the DVD box sets, and, you know, the box setting of things, which I think Netflix was one of the things it was originally selling itself on, wasn't it? Because it would rent movie discs, but it would also rent seasons of TV series.
Hmm.
Yeah,
and then of course they did the streaming thing, and that led to this extra revolution where they've actually worked out that because it's so easy for whoever, someone somewhere is going to have a capture device hooked up to their PC. So if they don't get, you know, the new series of, Super Hyper Wormhole X Extreme, you know, available legitimately to either stream as part of a subscription service or adverts, supported on something like Hulu. If they don't do that, then someone else will do it for them and they won't see a penny.
Yeah.
Which is what has led to this situation now, where they're thinking, instead of cancelling something, because after all, our primary income is going to be on TV, actually, no, our primary income may be from either selling these things ourselves or licensing it to someone else. Would you agree on that?
Yeah. I think that's fair to say.
Yeah.
Because, they've finally realised that they're not just selling the hour. I think the model they've always worked on is they're selling advertising time at certain hours of the day on TV.
Yeah.
And if they have a programme that they can produce for X amount and it can, you know, return a certain amount of viewers and they can get the money from the advertisers, that's what makes it worthwhile. Now, they're actually kind of switching from an advertising-dependent model to advertising and also licensing content. That's how I see it anyway. Where I'm seeing far more of a temptation for them to make sure they've got enough content so they can sell it.
But then I suppose part of the problem that we've got with the networks over in the US at the moment in comparison to over here, because there isn't enough decent original programming happening over here anymore, in my opinion.
Which is bizarre, considering we get... how many viewers did you say Supernatural gets per episode in the US?
1.5 million is the minimum that they... But they're averaging probably like 1.6 and above, most of the time.
So, with, you know, bearing that in mind, Doctor Who on Saturday nights in the UK gets, on average, about 6 million. Which I was reading puts it directly behind EastEnders for their drama programming. It is the second top drama programme on the BBC.
Crazy, isn't it?
I don't know how much of the, you know, the time-shifting audience that counts, but in the late 80s, we were, my family were chosen to be, you know, one of the, you know, certain demographic of family, where it was, it would get BARB, the British ratings agency, and they would collect information about who in the house was watching what, including on VCRs. And then they would, you know, on average, say, you know, I counted as maybe 20,000 people or something like that. So I'd sit down and watch Star Trek Next Generation on a Wednesday night at 6 o'clock, and I'd always make sure that I was registered on, you know, on the box that was sitting on top of my VCR, because it's like, I want more people to watch this.
Yeah.
So, you know, yes, my friend and my other friend are also watching at the same time. They're invisible, but so far as the box knows, they're in here.
Oh, I watched it five times as well.
Yeah, in X thousand people. Yeah, there we go. So that, you know, that's how we count. So yeah, the, you know, the BARB figures did include recording from VCR. So, and of course, more and more, I'm hearing about how much iPlayer counts for, and I presume the other catch-up services, including, you know, things like Now TV, they must keep a record so they can say how many they're getting.
Yeah,
you'd have thought so, wouldn't you?
But with things like Now TV, I'm a little bit confused, because they're taking, you know, commercial things, things that are, you know, shown on, you know, Fox, because that's who shows Walking Dead in the UK.
Mm.
It's AMC, but Fox show it in, you know, in the UK. They're all without adverts. So I'm not entirely sure how that works. I've got, please don't change it, but I'm not entirely sure how their, you know, the funding system works on if the actual, they're showing it without adverts on, well, you know, on catch-up.
On the actual catch-up service, then there are some adverts.
On Sky.
Yeah, on Sky type thing.
Yeah, I've only seen it on, when we were watching some things on Channel 5. Gotham.
Oh, yeah.
Gotham would have adverts. And just as a little aside, something I looked for this week and I was very annoyed about. Humans is not on 4OD.
Oh.
Really?
Isn't it?
Mm-hmm. I went looking for it because I thought, well, perfect. I was waiting until it had finished so we could watch the whole thing. There's me thinking, you know, 4OD or, you know, whatever the hell it's called now. All Four, is it?
Something like that.
All Four.
Yeah. I don't use it that often, so, you know, I didn't notice, you know, I think it was you mentioning on Twitter, Emily, that, you know, it said, yes, I don't think it's called, you know, 4OD anymore. But, you know, All Four went to look for it, and it just had a little snippet. It had some clips. It didn't have the actual series. So that was a fail, because I would have been more than happy to watch that with advert streaming.
Yeah.
Unless they're maybe, like, waiting for the DVD release first or something, but... Yeah.
Maybe.
It's a bit weird.
Mind you, with the... The aforementioned problem of someone somewhere is going to get that, you know, the bastard out on the internet for you to watch for free. The BBC especially do DVD releases and Blu-ray releases extremely quickly.
Oh yeah, I mean,
they do it as soon as, like, almost the week after or the day after the blooming thing finishes showing.
Well, yeah, Doctor Who season, well, the current season, part one is already out.
Yeah, so they are desperate to bypass the, oh, you've either, you know, ripped the files off from iPlayer, which my mate Dave Internet tells me is possible.
Crazy.
Or, you know, you've just downloaded it off the internet from somewhere, which is, you know, someone who's pretty much done the same, or they've, you know, grabbed it themselves, they've captured it, you know, themselves from, you know, broadcast.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they are desperate to bypass that. And, of course, iPlayer is one of the top websites and top services in the UK, isn't it?
Yeah.
Pretty much for that reason.
I would like to say that I've got my hands on a legitimate copy of Supernatural Season 10 on disc.
Woo!
It is the sort of Dutch-French from the continent version, like Season 9 was.
So it's still legitimate.
It's still legitimate, but the UK version is not going to be out until sometime next year when Channel 4 deigns it's okay. Well, I say Channel 4, E4, and Channel 4 deigns it's okay to, you know, for them to release the discs over here.
Oh, isn't that absolutely insane?
I mean, I know they're showing season 10 right now on E4, but I do feel like giving people more legitimate ways to watch something might work more in their favour.
It does make me wonder whether E4 actually have the rights to the rest of the series as well.
Well, if they did, that'd be the kind of thing they'd quite happily put on repeating a lot. I mean, they've got, was it, is it E4 or Channel 4? They've got Charmed at the moment. Repeating like nobody's business, and you'd think they'd do a slightly edited version of Supernatural, but obviously they haven't. I mean, there's a whole load of seasons there to obviously play with.
Absolutely.
Yeah, there's hours and hours that they could just chuck on.
Yeah. So,
but... And if Netflix in the US have it, because it's not on the UK Netflix.
No, it's on Amazon.
So is it?
It's on Amazon, but not for free.
So it's not included as part of Prime?
Not anymore, no. It sort of changed sometime last year. Or earlier this year.
Fuck that. it's the whole, it's the old bit that Kevin Spacey said of Netflix and House of Cards, isn't it?
Yeah.
If you give people an easy way of doing things legitimately, they will do that. The whole issue is when they make it harder to do something legitimately than it would be illegitimately.
Yeah.
And there's a whole issue with that. Yes, everything is supposed to be rated by the BBFC in this country. So, your copies are, our copies of Supernatural are not, licensed for release in the UK. But they are licensed.
Yeah.
When he did change hands, they are legitimate, which is a stupid.
Crazy, isn't it?
Yeah, it's just, if you're, by all means, Channel 4 show Supernatural late. They can do that. Yeah. There's no one forcing them at gunpoint. But it's probably part of their licensing that it's not going to be out on DVD until, when they're finished or mostly finished. Which is why you can't buy the UK release. Mm. They're going to shit a brick when they find out about the internet. And international postage. I do think a lot of these companies that they're like massive oil tankers. They're trying desperately to sail ahead, but it takes them so long to course correct when they notice something.
Yeah,
it's because
a lot of media businesses aren't yet operating on sort of like agile business platform, ways of running business.
Yeah.
I know agile is something that's more referred to in software development, but it's a type of running the things that's creeping more and more into other industries.
I think it's worth saying that the two are slightly converging because of the streaming platform.
Yeah.
So they're having to kind of absorb that because, all of us here play games.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
All of us are familiar with there's going to be a launch day. But that doesn't mean we have to play it at that day.
No.
All that means is that, software X, game X, whatever, is available for us to use at that particular time, whenever the hell we want. And that's kind of what I'm used to. Well, it's definitely what I'm used to when it comes to TV. Because I just want to, sit down and, maybe make myself something to eat, get a little bit to drink, sit down and watch whatever it is. At the time I find handy. And if they're not providing, that service, then it's going to be a massive pin in the ass.
Yeah.
And if they do provide that service, then I can actually give them money for it. And I am happy to do so. And that again is what they're finally working out, that sometimes when you cancel a series because it's not getting I think in a lot of way you have you have the demographics which will sit down and watch TV as it's broadcast live. And then you have a completely different demographic, a lot of the time, which will sit down and watch it whenever they want, but they will try and watch it legitimately if they can, or just the easiest way to watch it.
Yeah.
And, for a lot of us in the UK, that's on iPlayer, or, well, I've never used it, but ITV Player, or Channel 5 Player.
Hmm.
Crazy. that was a noise of sheer joy. It's like, oh yes, Channel 5 could, player, that's great.
Can I say that? Because whenever I use any catch-up services, I like to basically stick it on the TV screen rather than watch it on a laptop or on, you know, mobile phone or anything like that. And it's really disconcerting that, like BBC iPlayer, you can stick on, you know, the TV. Netflix, you can stick on the TV. Amazon, you can stick on the TV. But stuff like, I think ITV, I'm not entirely sure whether they've actually done their app for that. But Channel 4... with their, what is it, All 4 or whatever, they haven't bothered doing, like, Chromecast or anything like that.
They are on the Now TV boxes.
Okay.
So you kind of watch it that way.
Well, I mean...
Which it, although, you know, with you saying that, that's reminded me every single time I've seen someone... You know, like a, you know, a newspaper journalist, and they've been talking about, you know, there are, you know, there's been another rise in people streaming. They always seem to whine, why would people watch it on a tiny phone screen?
Well, I mean, because on when I've tried to watch, I think it's Last Leg before from the Channel 4, well, All 4 service.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm able to Chromecast that to the TV just by, you know, casting the tab and then sticking it full screen.
Yeah.
Now, Sky, you can't do that with, because they've realised that people will start doing that, you know, if they allowed it. So what they've, I think what they've deliberately done is basically not allowed you to view the Sky Go programming on Chrome. So instead you have to go through Internet Explorer or Firefox.
Now, what but, were we saying about making things easier?
But you know, one of the ways that I watch Sky programming is by connecting the laptop up via HDMI cable to the TV and then full screening it. And I've got the same effect. So,
yeah, all they're doing is making a slightly more of a pain in the ass to do exactly what you can do anyway if you just put your mind to it slightly.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, Sky have got a little bit of a habit of doing things like that, where they'll try and stop you from, you know, doing things in certain ways. I think, was it, it was their app and I think 4OD, which wouldn't work on my little Android HDMI stick. Because they said, oh, this support, you know, this can be connected to a TV. And it's, yeah, I'm trying to watch a TV program on a TV. This is confusing to you? Ah, you useless ass.
Crazy.
I think we've beaten this topic to death.
Yeah.
Yes.
We've talked about TV a lot the last couple of months.
But thankfully it won't get cancelled.
Yes. Well, it's been on our minds, hasn't it? Yeah. There's been all kinds of different aspects of it, and it's not as simple as it used to be.
No.
Although in a lot of ways it's far more convenient than it used to be.
Can I point out to our listeners that episode 158 is going to be a Breaking Bad special, and that they
can't.
And that they should make sure that they've watched all that glorious cable-based television in all its glory. I mean, in case you're wondering of legitimate ways to watch it, it is all on Netflix still at the moment in the UK.
It's also on DVD.
It's also on DVD.
And a Blu-ray.
And Blu-ray.
Look,
it may also be available on other streaming services, but I've not checked. But it is definitely on Netflix UK.
But yeah, Netflix was making a big deal at the time of they were showing episodes right after it was, you know, being broadcast in the US.
Yeah,
which was awesome.
Yeah,
thank
because
you.
That means that you didn't have to pirate the damn thing. You can watch it legitimately on their service, you know, and not have things spoiled.
I was reading numbers from, you know, certain, you know, Dave Internet sites, which were saying that, you know, the piracy numbers of things like Breaking Bad were really very high because, of course, people were wanting to watch it. Isn't that a crazy idea? People were wanting to watch it before it was available in the UK, and as soon as Netflix nabbed it up and said that they were showing it, you know, the next day, people suddenly thought, well, if it's on Netflix, why the hell am I bothering with this?
Well, I mean, bearing in mind that it's, you know, with Netflix, it's on, you know, quite high quality as well. If you've got, you know, the right subscription package, which still isn't that expensive. You know,
I know people who swear blind that they can see the difference between, you know, Netflix at its best and Blu-ray at its worst. But I think for most people, you can't.
Hmm.
I definitely, I'm not, there are very few things I've watched on Netflix and I've thought, that's the best quality you've got. Whereas I've seen preview channels and I've thought, Jesus Christ, this is awful. This is like, you know, worse than YouTube on a bad day.
Mm.
But Netflix is very good quality, yeah. And it's more than good enough for most people. And if you can see it legitimate, if you know you can sit down the next day and just select Netflix on your computer or, you know, your some kind of, you know, computer box or telly box. Mm. If you know you can just, you know, sit down, choose it and watch the new episode, why would you bother pirating?
Yeah, because I don't think people who enforce anti-piracy stuff kind of realise how annoying it is to pirate things, because so many streaming sites have got dodgy crap hanging around on them.
Yeah.
Torrents can bring hell. If
yes.
And much more.
Thankfully, just so I've heard.
Yeah, I mean, the only reason to pirate something is if you really want to watch it. Either that or you just don't care about your computer.
The secret is to give people a non-rip-off easy way of doing it entirely legitimately, and you can make money from it. Does anyone remember the Oatmeal cartoon?
Yes.
That he did.
I think it was
Game of Thrones.
Yeah, that got brought up during a discussion about piracy on my Twitter on Friday.
I saw that, yeah.
Which comic was that? I mean, I know it's the
Oatmeal. The dude's like, I want to watch Game of Thrones, I like this show, I want to support it, hey! Alright, I don't have, you know, and then he goes through all the different ways, trying to find a legitimate way to watch it, with Devil and Angel on shoulder. And he looks at everything fucking possible, and it's just not there. And then it's like, oh, but he would have... Eventually, it's like you'd have to subscribe to yet another thing of a thing, but isn't a thing that you need.
Wasn't it something like, oh, it's on HBO Go, so I could stream it, but only if I change my entire cable package?
Yeah. And we know those things aren't cheap, because we discussed that a few episodes back. And in the end, basically, it sort of ends with the angel supporting him pirating.
Yeah, because it's such a complete pain in the arse.
Well, yeah, because it's like that is part of the issue again. I mean, it brings us back to the fragmentation issue with so much of this content. Like, there's so much content, it's all over the place, and it's trying to get it into as few locations as possible so that people don't feel like they're gonna pirate because it's gonna be available legitimately too late or never, or it's gonna be in too many different places that they're just like, fuck it, I can't be bothered to deal with the complexity of trying to access this content.
Yeah.
And suddenly piracy seems easy. When piracy seems easier than watching the service through a legitimate paid-for channel, that is when you have a problem.
Mm.
Really big problem.
And it can be stupidly easy to watch something illegitimately in comparison to watching it legitimately.
Yeah.
I mean, the hurdles that my mate Dave Internet used to have to go to you know, watch, you know, dodgy sourced films or, you know, TV series. Yeah, he used to really hate doing that because it was a pain in the arse. But he tells me that there are, you know, just much easier ways to do it, you know, these days, thanks to broadband internet.
You know, I reckon one day we're just going to have...
My mate Dave says.
Yeah. We're just going to have, like, retroid kind of, oh, by the way, I've brought my mate along. It's Dave Internet. He's actually a real person. We thought that was a euphemism.
No, you see, he is a real person, but unfortunately he only speaks in a 56k modem tone, so it'll be a little bit difficult to hit on the ear.
Awesome.
I'm going to point out, I don't think we've got time to go through everything everyone's been doing. But...
Well, it's a good job, because I have been doing very little. I have mostly been not... about to buy Fallout 4, definitely not buying Fallout 4. Nope, definitely not watching videos of Fallout 4. Oh, there's a new trailer of Fallout 4. What's this review say about Fallout 4? I've accidentally fallen on the order button.
Oh, that's an interesting buying process.
Yeah, it's like, no, I'm definitely not. Oh, someone's selling a season pass, which means I could just buy it now. Okay. So I've got 24 gig on my hard drive at the moment. That's waiting for an unlock.
Oh.
What about you, Cookie? Have you managed to do anything nuanced and interesting?
I've just been playing Battlefield Hardline, to be honest. Which is interesting, being cops and robbers.
Okay.
Gives it a nice little twist on multiplayer.
I would like to hear between somebody comparing it between Payday 2 and Battlefield Hardlines.
Probably
I've
got
never
fewer
played Payday bits 2.
Of, premium content than Payday 2.
I actually found it better than everybody said it was, if I'm being honest. I know it didn't do as well as they'd hoped it would do, but the multiplayer is a lot more interesting. On the heist and stuff.
Maybe you've been enjoying it because you've had your expectations lowered.
Quite possibly, yes.
So
but also, it's just different to COD as well, isn't it? So, which is nice. And the maps on Battlefield have always been better, in my opinion, because they're a lot bigger, a lot more detailed.
I'm trying to remember the last COD game I played. I think it might have been Modern Warfare. So there you go, that finger on the pulse. When it comes to COD.
Despite how it might sound, I have watched a variety of things this past week.
Supernatural Season 10 and Season 11?
Supernatural Season 9, 10, 11. There we go.
Oh, there we go. There was even more variety.
But actually, no, obviously I've started rewatching Breaking Bad. I've got through the first season of that, and I'm part of through Season 2.
We are.
I've watched more episodes than you. You kind of were like, oh, I'll just nip in for this bit and this bit. I also watched the first episode of Narcos, which is interesting to be watching alongside Breaking Bad, because it's like, it's the prequel. Forget Better Call Saul. This is the prequel. This is how the drug situation and the drug war in America was able to get to the level that it is.
I saw someone on Twitter say that, they were talking to a Colombian friend, and they mentioned Narcos and said, "Yeah, that rings true." Because they were, really was it like that? Really? Because it's a TV series, is it really going to be like that? And this person was getting, "No, that's it. That rings pretty much true."
They got a disclaimer at the beginning of the episode, to be like, the names have been changed and a few events, but it's pretty, and they said it in such a way that it's not like Fargo.
And we have
even
to
though it sounds like
the,
it.
The president of the United States, who is Donald Reagan.
but no, because it's like it's interesting because the style of it, there's like this weird element to it that reminds me of the first season of True Detective, but then it's being narrated by this one character. It's done really, it's quite slick so far. And I'm going to watch more of it, but after getting through Breaking Bad again.
Cool.
Oh, and we watched episode two.
And recovering from the end of the...
Yeah.
Series,
and we watched episode two of Supergirl, which was weird for me. Like the first third to half of it was a bit, and then after it got about halfway through, it suddenly picked up and got a lot more interesting.
It was a bit, it was a bit more interesting halfway through, I think.
Yeah,
definitely. And what I thought was going to happen didn't happen at all.
Ooh.
They didn't stretch. What I thought they were going to stretch out. Until sort of midway through the season, which was
now,
really weird.
I still haven't watched that, but I did see a hilarious, just screenshot of people commenting on it because it was dudes complaining about Supergirl being a Supergirl.
Oh, crikey!
And it was, why does it have to be all feminist and why does it have to be all like about girls? Like, because it's fucking Supergirl.
Oh god!
Their minds are going to be blown when there's a Captain Marvel movie or a Wonder Woman movie or Squirrel Girl finally gets made. We need a Squirrel Girl movie, people.
Everything
we need.
I've seen Squirrel Girl says, I need a Squirrel Girl TV series of.
She needs a screen debut of some sort. She deserves to be. She could. Basically, she could be even more hip and awesome than Supergirl. I mean, Supergirl's doing pretty reasonable, but Squirrel Girl is where it's at. I'm just saying. Network should be listening to this. Squirrel Girl. Mm-hmm.
But I think I saw the image that Retroid was talking about, and it is just fucking. It's probably the same people that complained about Ghostbusters being, you know, all women.
We're not allowed to have media products or be in media products.
In this case, it wasn't even a replacing of, you know, a thing. It wasn't that Superman had been turned into Supergirl. It's just there was this other character called Supergirl, and they were whining about it.
Mm. That's just bizarre.
So yeah, we need more male main characters because there's just not enough.
Oh, what was the opinion of last week's Walking Dead? Not in detail, but in general.
Last week's?
I actually found it surprisingly good. I didn't think that I was going to.
I thought it was really excellent, that episode.
I found it easier to follow than the previous episodes. It piqued my interest a bit more. But that's
it was far more cohesive.
Yeah, that's
it explained much.
It's because it was obviously a flashback episode, and so there was no point in jumping around more.
No.
But I kind of, in the series' present timeline bit, I would kind of like it to follow a more linear structure at the moment, because when I watch where they are in the present at the moment, I find those episodes really hard to follow. But maybe that's just me.
I'm not too bad with it. But... Shall I say what I've been up to?
I have thankfully been fine with it.
Can I just give my verdict on last week's episode of Supernatural without spoiling things?
How can we deny you Supernatural?
I don't think it's possible to deny Emily Supernatural.
I think she's going to have to go to rehab soon.
Last week's episode was...
They'll check your pockets as well and it'll be box sets of Supernatural.
Last week's episode... Last week's episode was episode 5 of season 11 in the States. Which was called Thin Lizzy. And it was partially about the alleged serial killer Lizzie Broden, I want to say. There was a whole thing about Sam geeking. Sam's got a thing about serial killers that only gets brought up every so often. He geeks out about them perhaps more than most people would. And you think it's going to be a Monster of the Week episode, but...
Turns out the monster is man.
It was an interesting episode that was I wasn't so keen on the first watch, but when I went to re-watch it whilst I was a bit more awake, it kind of made a bit more sense, and there were some interesting elements in it. And it was interesting how it tied into the arc of the main season, though there was some off characterization for Dean in this episode. Sam was pretty much spot on, and it was a new writer. But Dean was kind of off.
He seems to have been off for a little while.
Well, no, Dean's kind of gone back to normal, and then this episode happened.
But I mean, there has been like the odd kind of thing where I think you've said that's not really in Dean's character in the past couple of episodes.
There's only been the odd moment, but it's some of it is more he's actually being himself again. He hasn't been himself. Until for like over a season, until the beginning of this one. Anyway, somebody else go, what they've been up to.
It's just me left, isn't it?
Yes.
So,
let me get something on the Wii U.
I've been still blasting through Hyrule Warriors.
See? Cool.
Just
drink.
Just like the adventure modes type thing. So it's, have it's not the main story. Have you got everything yet? On the regular adventure mode and the master thingy, yes. In terms of like weapons and costumes, yes. I haven't got
including
everything.
Including the DLC ones. Or do you not have to work for those? You know, kind of. As in, you know, once you buy them, there's not something you have to do for them.
Well, there's weapons and costumes that you can actually earn on the Majora's Mask map pack and the Twilight Princess map pack. So
Does the Majora's Mask map pack have a lot of replayability? See what it is. Yeah.
It does actually. It's got this kind of thing where you can basically have. I think it's what like a certain. Well,
it's
certain
going to be
amount...
replayability or lots of deja vu.
Well, it's like a certain amount of goes before the map resets.
Yeah. That sounds like it could be interesting.
So yeah. Anyway. So I've been doing that. I've been watching, as said previously, a bit of New Girl. Quite like that. I have been watching more Once Upon a Time. That's doing quite well.
Weirdly, I keep hearing good things about that, but then I keep seeing bits of it and it puts me off. But then I see it's got Robert Carlyle in it.
Yes.
And sort of like, yes. Ooh.
The reason I've not got into it is because I like Fables.
Mm. Yeah.
So.
But I mean, one of the things about... one of the things about Once Upon a Time is that it seems like nobody is quite as they seem. And, you know, characters that you think are, they actually do something else. So it's never quite cut and dry as to, you know, like the evil or good in people. Apart from Wicked Witch, who's always evil.
The idea of it changed from the first season? Because it was the first season... I heard someone describe it as it was something like they're characters from fairy tales, but they didn't realise it.
Yes. Well, I'm still on the first season, so I've been briefly catching an episode here and there, but that is correct. It's I'm not spoiling it because it's, you know, explained in the first episode, so. Yeah, you basically have all of the fairy tale characters, you know, Snow White, like Belle, and you know all these kind of other Disney, fairy tale characters. And what's happened is a curse has been stuck on them, so that basically no longer are they living in a fairy tale world; they're actually living in the real world. Their memories have been erased and replaced with, you know, real world ones. What you actually find is that Snow White and the Prince Charming had a baby just before, you know, the curse came. Mm. They sent the baby out into the kind of real world. She grows up, has a kid of her own, and that kid gets adopted by the evil queen. In the town of Storybrooke. Basically the kid kind of comes back, finds her, and then brings her to Storybrooke. And so you've got this battle between, you know, the baby that got away and the evil queen. And I've probably not made it sound anywhere near as good.
Is it not crap?
It's actually surprisingly interesting. Surprisingly interesting.
Oh, good bit of fan praise there. That's always good.
I mean, I've seen kind of the brief snippet for whatever season they're on at the moment, season 4, and it's it's so far, you know, very very different from what I recognize in season 1. So it's I'm gonna have to, you know, watch through, because, you know, I think season 1 is probably going to be the, you know, hard slog, and then things are going to get, you know, kind of more interesting in season 2 and 3 and so on. So it does show a lot of promise, which is probably why I'm kind of keeping going with it. But it stars Jennifer Morrison, who was in House.
Mm.
So.
Yay.
Cool. Can I say I've not watched House?
Boo.
What?
I haven't. I just can't get past the accent.
Seriously?
Mm-hmm.
Bless you.
Why is Prince George from Blackadder putting on that stupid American accent? Why isn't anyone saying, why are you doing that stupid accent?
I have heard rumour that when I think it was Bryan Singer who got, you know, everything started with the show of House, had like people come over and whatnot. And he actually pointed to Hugh Laurie as to, you know, this is how Americans sound, not realising that, you know, he was actually British.
He'd been so perfectly assimilated at that point.
I just can't. His accent sounds just so wrong. I think it's just, you know, the discombobulation between seeing Hugh Laurie on screen and hearing that accent come out his gob. I just find it too weird. And then, of course, I've seen little snippets of him accepting awards for House.
Yes.
And he'll get up on stage and just talk in his, you know, perfectly normal, you know, English accent. And you have people go, why does he sound like that? Why is he putting on that accent? And just, oh, you people.
Awesome.
Bless you.
But, yeah.
Yeah, I think that's all we have time for, isn't it?
Yes.
Because we all want to bugger off and watch Walking Dead or... Yeah. Continue playing Hardlines. Or whatever it's called. Battle Lines, Hardlines. Washing Line.
That'll do. No, not Washing Line. Don't do that.
Shooty Bang Pop.
Shooty Bang Pop.
And it's been like for me.
Dang, what do you want? Back in line.
But Retroid does have the power. This time.
I know, bless him.
Back in your box.
You normally go first, don't you? But you'll have to go last this time.
I do. I was... Oh, however, then, just go, whatever. I'll go last. You go on, go on. Just do what you want. I'm fine, just do it.
It's good night for me, Retroid. I mean,
oh, Jesus.
And it's good night for me, Cookie, aka one-armed underscore Cookie on Twitter.
It's good night for me, Paul Blewett, and I'm on Twitter as at Paul Blewett. At least my name's actually, you know, fairly straightforward.
Yeah.
It's good night for me, Emily King. I'm on Twitter at EK6891.
And it's good night from me, Paul Wood. I'm Retroid on Eurogamer.net, Super Retroid on Twitter, and I'm not Cookie. Good night.
Good night.